What is Peace Brain? Peace Brain is the synergistic connection between our mental and emotional bodies, blending the electrical power of the mind with the magnetic force of the heart. Listen and explore how to create unity worldwide as we blend science and metaphysics and open our hearts and minds to the possibilities of peace on Earth and create the life we are each destined for. Featured guests range from angel communicators to zoologists and everything in between. Now here is your host, Dr. Gail Lash.
Hello and welcome to the Peace Brain Show. This is your host, Dr. Gail Lash, and I'm really happy to have you here today. Today we have an exciting person. She's a friend, a colleague. We've known each other for a long time, Nancy Hannah Faye Daniel from Atlanta, Georgia. And we're going to be talking about peace and justice and wellness and do wonderful, just how those all come together to create a world of peace. And so please stay tuned for that. I'm going to, as always, open the show with a quote in just a minute. And then at the end of the show, I do a wonderful Peace Brain meditation. So please stay tuned for that at the end. So the quote that I want to begin the show with is from Margaret Mead. And you've probably heard it before. It's a very wise saying. She said, "Never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it's the only thing that ever has." I love this because it really points out that as an individual, as a small group of people who are really committed, who want to take it on to do action to change society, can do that. And in fact, that's really what it takes. It takes a few people with some desire and passion and who, for whatever reason, have found a cause that they're really willing to put their time and energy into, can really make a difference. So think about what you really want to have in your life, what kinds of actions and justice that you want to correct or create in the world, because the world obviously is in a lot of turmoil, it's in a lot of change, and that's actually a good thing, that's a great thing. There are lots of things in society that need to change, and that's what we're going to talk about today, not only in the wellness field, but in the justice field, and not just justice like laws, but justice as to how can we work with our citizenry, how can we really start to have this more equality, this more committed citizenry that works together, that helps each other. Because that's where I see that we're going. That's what the Peace Brain Show is all about, is really how can we create peace in the world that works for everyone, that really helps everyone be prosperous and successful, creative, using their own talents, and obviously have all the basic needs of society. Like the Declaration of Human Rights talks about, where you have shelter, you have food, you have water, you have education, you have safety. So we're going to get into that today. So I love this quote by Margaret Mead. It really points out that, yes, we can make a difference. So begin to think about how you can make a difference in the world. So today I brought on my friend Nancy Hannah Faye Daniel. She is a woman who wears many, many hats, and I love that about her. She's a teacher, a facilitator, an organizer, a mom, a grandma, a friend, a priestess, a crone. But first and foremost, she's a concerned citizen, and she says of this beautiful blue planet she likes to call Planet School. I like that, Planet School. So we're going to talk about that. There's two websites I want to go ahead and give you now that she works with, particularly Unity North here in Atlanta, Georgia. And Unity North has their website, unitynorth.org. And then the Housing Justice League is also another organization she's been doing a lot of work with. So if you want to find out more about that, you can go to Housing Justice League, that's L-E-A-G-U-E, peacebrain.org. So welcome, Hannah Fay, to the Peace Brain Show.
Hi, Gail. Thanks for asking me.
You're very welcome. So why do you call the Earth Planet School? Let's start there.
Okay. First, I want to say I really admire the work you do, too. It's no coincidence that you and I often cross paths and end up working together. I love the way that works. And it is part of Planet School. We're all here to learn and to work together and to bring peace on Earth, I think.
Mm-hmm. I think you're right. So we're here in school. So school sometimes has what has different connotations. You think we're learning. We don't, you know, just go to kindergarten through grade 12 or college or whatever and stop. You're saying it's a continuous life lessons?
I often tell people that I work with, if we're still above the dirt and sucking air, we're still learning.
I love it. That's good. That works. Yep. So tell us something about some of the lessons you've learned or some of the things you're working on.
Okay. Well, first I'd like to explain my name.
Please.
Nancy is the name that my mother gave me when I was physically born on Planet School. It's the name that's on my driver's license and bank account in case you want to write me a check.
Nancy Daniel, there you go.
Right, exactly. And Hannah Fay is a name that I was given over a period of years in spiritual workshops and practices and travels. It just kind of came to me. And as soon as it fully established itself in my life, everyone said, yes, that fits you. That is you.
Mm-hmm.
So I've kind of incorporated it into my legal name, and it feels right. And I'd say about 50% of the people that know me by Hannah Fay, and the other 50% still use Nancy. And either one is fine. But it's one of the ways that I have allowed spirit, if you will, to work in my life.
Excellent.
So.
Yeah, that feels really good. And I know that we each are on a spiritual journey, so it sometimes requires creating a new name for oneself to
absolutely
to feel that spiritual, that high priestess or priest, that divine essence within each of us. Good job.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Well, so you are a Reiki master as well.
I am, actually. I've held a lot of titles. You referred to several of them when you introduced me. I've had a ton of titles in my life. At home, I've been wife, mother, grandmother. In corporate America, I've been an administrator, a coordinator, a manager. In the metaphysical community, I'm a teacher, a high priestess, a tarot reader, and I'm a Virgo. With Scorpio rising, so watch out.
Okay.
In the health and wellness arena, I am a Reiki master teacher. I'm a certified aromatherapist. I'm a holistic wellness fair organizer. And I've had a lot of other titles. In housing justice organization, I am co-treasurer on the board of directors of that organization. So lots of different hats. And that's kind of fun. It keeps life interesting, and I learn a lot. Again, Planet School.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you are a woman who, as you just said, has a finger in many pies. And
yes.
And that works really well for you. I personally am like that as well, so I resonate with that. What is kind of the advantage, or what might you say to people who maybe don't have fingers in many pies or don't consider that, or may consider that as overwhelming?
Lessons? It can be overwhelming.
Are there ways that you can manage all that?
Well, for one thing, I am legitimately a crone, so I'm not working 9 to 5 every day. That helps. And I'm a Virgo. I came into onto this planet to be organized. And it isn't for everybody. My best advice to anybody who thinks that my life is chaotic, overwhelming, is follow your own path.
Mm-hmm.
It may not be for you, and that's just fine. Absolutely.
Exactly.
I'd like to back up to the Reiki thing, because in learning Reiki and teaching Reiki, it did give me kind of an overarching theme and a direction.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
First of all, for any of your listeners that may not be familiar with it, I think it's fairly common household word now, but Reiki is a Japanese healing and relaxation modality. For many years, I taught this modality. I also facilitated monthly Reiki circles around Atlanta so that practitioners could come and practice, and visitors could come in and just experience Reiki. It's a very gentle, loving, relaxing healing technique.
That's awesome.
Excuse me?
That's awesome that you had a circle, that you had a way that people could come and practice.
Absolutely. It was wonderful. And I did that for probably 10 years over in Gwinnett County.
Wow.
I don't teach it very much anymore, except once or twice a year at Unity North, we have a Reiki workshop. But when I used to offer regular Reiki workshops, the theme for every one of my classes was always being a responsible healer in today's world. Hmm. And that theme has been at the heart of everything I do, being a responsible healer in today's world.
So tell us more about that. What does that mean or look like?
Well, I believe that we're all healers, or other traditions would use the word stewards. We're all healers, stewards on this beautiful blue planet. And whether I'm organizing a holistic wellness fair or with a group peacefully protesting for better gun control, which I will be doing tomorrow, or facilitating my own apartment community's monthly resident meeting, I am responsible. So peace begins with me. Healing, whether it's my own personal well-being or the health of Mother Earth, it begins with me too.
Well, and obviously that goes back to the quote that we talked about at the very beginning, that it really it really is about each individual figuring out, as you just said, following your heart and your path, and how can you make a difference? How can you take responsibility for not only one's own life, but making a better society?
Absolutely. Yes.
So tell us a little bit about this wellness fair that's happening at Unity North.
Okay, well, I want to give a little background on it. I was doing some things. I had the Reiki circles going, and I was involved in a lot of things health-wise. And I decided I wanted to do something bigger and better for the community. And a lot of that started with being really upset with the big pharma seeming to be the answer to everyone's ailments. It felt to me like everyone I knew had turned their bodies over to doctor gods. And I knew there was a better way. I've always kind of been interested in natural remedies and alternative health care. I've always gone to chiropractors. I am an aromatherapist, and I love that modality. I try to eat healthy. I was raised with respect for seasonal foods. is the term that comes to my mind. We had strawberries in June and blueberries in August, and you know, corn was knee high by the 4th of July. I knew those things as a child, and we ate that way. We also ate a lot of fish. I grew up in a tradition that encouraged eating fish on Fridays. But it was no penance for us because we loved it. And I grew up in New Hampshire, so we had access to a lot of good fish. I've also practiced, like I said, Reiki for quite some time, meditation, yoga, those kind of things. So they all kind of fit in this bowl of doing something bigger, better for the community. And in January of 2013, I started doing offering holistic wellness fair. I think I called it something different back then. I had the first one in January of 2013 at Atlanta Unity Church, which is over in Norcross. And it was very well received. So I had my second fair at the First Existentialist Church down Candler Park, and that one was very, very well received. We had so much fun at those fairs.
So tell us a little bit about what that looks like. Like, do you have a bunch of practitioners? What do you have, games? Do you have opportunities for people to test things?
Yes.
The answer is okay.
Yes. It's pretty much open to everything. It obviously, the whole concept kind of discourages traditional Western allopathic medicine, but we do tend to attract lots of chiropractors, Reiki practitioners, reflexologists, massage therapists, shamans, and we also have spiritual readers, people who read cards, tarot cards, angel cards, that kind of thing. We have people who make custom jewelry. That is something that I feel makes people feel better about themselves when they look attractive. They're wearing attractive, what do you call it? Jewelry. There's a word for it, but I forget it right now. We also have several times had artists who paint what they feel is your spirit, and they will do a reading based on that painting. So that's very interesting.
Absolutely.
We have had sound therapists. We have had mad scientists.
Oh, tell us about the mad scientists.
Unfortunately, I can't explain what they do all the time. We had one from North Carolina who had a paradigm machine that emitted sounds, and it was based in sound, absolutely, and sound and vibration. Vibration is everywhere.
Yes.
I'm more familiar with sound therapy in general than his particular, and I don't want to misquote him on anything. This last time we had a practitioner who offered, it's called Beamer Technology, B-E-M-E-R, and it is also based on sound and vibration. And I think that one will be here again in April. So,
so you have it, Gail. So you have this holistic wellness fair for any of listeners that are in the Atlanta area, greater Atlanta area, are also going to be. It's going to be April 7th and April 8th, correct?
Yes, Saturday, April 7th. From 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Sunday, April 8th, from noon to 5 p.m. We open it on Sunday right after the second service at Unity North. And the fair is held in the downstairs fellowship hall, which is called Holy Grounds.
Yes.
Cute, huh?
It's cute.
I do want to mention the fair is free admission and it's open to the public. So, many of the vendors offer services that are paid, and they work that out with their customers themselves. And there are products for sale. There, this year, in April, I will have two food vendors, too.
Hmm.
One of the things I love about this fair is it is one of those places where everybody seems to get along very well with everybody else.
Right, right. Oh,
I have
awesome.
I have two food vendors. They both offer healthy food. Lunches and meals are served all through the day.
And so you have. Yep,
sorry,
that's okay. So people can come and, eat. In other words, as well.
Sorry, I do want to mention that one of them serves, you know, generically healthy food. She has a great kale salad.
Oh wow! That's
and
awesome.
She usually brings a soup of some kind, like a squash soup or whatever.
Right.
She also has jams and jellies that she makes from organic produce. The other food vendor is totally gluten-free.
Oh, nice.
Gluten-free and delicious. Oh, my gosh. And he has a cookbook. He is also a personal chef. So the two of those... In out in the world, you might expect those two to be in competition, but at my fair, they will call each other before the fair and say, "What are you cooking?" So I can make something that will complement it.
Oh, that's so cool!
Seriously,
yeah,
it is cool. This is peace on earth.
It
absolutely is.
It is
cooperation.
So I really like, thank you for going into detail about your wellness fair, because I wanted to hear sort of how it looked, how you could put it together, because there may be listeners today, you out there in the audience, who want to create a wellness fair at your organization or your church or your synagogue and be able to put it into place too. So basically when you started at Hannah Fay, you called up people you knew, practitioners and friends of friends,
yes,
and things like that, and said, you can have a table. This is what we're doing for these 2 days. Do they pay anything to do that, or it's free to them as well? What?
No, they pay a fee, mm-hmm, to rent vendor space.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Because I put this on, and I rent that space from Unity North. So, yes, there is a vendor fee.
Got it.
I also wanted to mention, this time we have an announcer on a spiritual radio show coming to the fair.
Oh, nice.
Hint, hint, Gail, you are always welcome anytime.
Oh, my goodness. We go to the fair and do a radio show. That would be fun, yes.
Yes. She's planning to interview vendors.
Awesome.
At the fair. So, yeah.
And do like a live Facebook event or something like that?
I don't know how you guys do this. That's magic. That's your magic.
Well, that sounds beautiful. And how many people approximately show up to the fair?
Oh, gosh. Everybody always asks me that. And since I organize it and run it myself, I've never been able to count. But I think the factor that speaks the most to that is approximately 50% of the vendors who do this fair are repeat vendors. They come back time after time after time.
Excellent.
They love the fair. So it must work for them. It's successful for them. I can tell you that on Sunday, We started out doing this only on Saturdays, and then someone had the bright idea, let's do it both days and see how it works out. Unity North is a large congregation. There's usually 200 or 300 people at a service, especially the second service.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And Unity North as a community totally supports this kind of event. So after the second service, which usually ends about 12:15, 12:30, a very large portion of the people who are have attended the second service will flood down and come eat lunch and roam around and make purchases and gather information and talk to people and experience services. And yeah, Sunday's a very busy day for us. Saturday is more a steady flow. Sunday is like a flood.
Well, and that's a great, obviously, idea to put it back to back with the church services. That mm-hmm. makes total sense because people are already there and then they can experience both. So that's excellent.
Right. Yeah. And Unity North totally supports this. In fact, mm-hmm. they are a vendor. They have a vendor table at the fair.
Oh, interesting.
To talk about what Unity North is, mm-hmm. what kind of a church it actually is. On the sign out front, doesn't advertise as a church. It advertises as a spiritual community.
Hmm.
But they it's a very active community, and they do a lot of things.
So there's tell us a little bit more about Unity North or Unity Church in general, because I know it's a worldwide organization, correct?
It is. It is. Unity North in Unity organization in general kind of covers a broad spectrum. It is originally based in teachings in the Bible and teachings writings by Millard Fillmore and Myrtle. His wife's name was Myrtle. The principles are pretty germane to almost any religion, though. And it covers a very broad spectrum from very liberal, Christian. But it's inclusive of lots of things. I know our spiritual leader, who's Reverend Richard Burdick, often quotes from Buddhist traditions or Albert Einstein or, you know, just mm-hmm. wherever he finds truth, wherever we find truth.
Right.
It fits.
That's wonderful. So, and that makes sense for today's world is to have a place where people can go from various backgrounds and faith traditions and show mm-hmm. up and create, as you said, that spiritual community. Yeah, excellent.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And we have Democrats and Republicans.
Oh, you're funny. So let's, with that, move on to housing justice.
I have to get something political in there, right?
So I do want to talk about housing justice because you have an interesting story that is not uncommon.
Right.
And it sort of catapulted you into this activism to work for housing mm-hmm. justice. So tell us a little bit about that.
Okay. I've made some notes, and I'm going to refer to them a lot so I stay on track. But what comes to my mind is September 11th, 2001, changed a lot of lives, not just those that were involved in the Twin Towers and Washington and all those tragedies, but it started a lot of things economically in the United States. At that time, I worked for a company that manufactured commercial refrigeration products. I was in their marketing and advertising department. And business was doing well, but after 9/11, new construction just kind of went down the toilet, and the company downsized considerably, and I was one of the people that was laid off. I was single, and you know, making my way in the world. I was doing okay. I had a home. I had bought my own condo, But I went into a panic because I knew things were economically going south. Anyway, I did find another job, but I got ended up, they moved their marketing department to Houston, and I got laid off again. So after a long time of unemployment, I couldn't find a job. I swear people would look at me and say, "You want to be in marketing and advertising? No, we think you're too old." Not that people discriminate ever, but I think that happened in my case.
Right.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yes, yes. Unfortunately, you're right. It happens to many people.
It does. So if you recall, we had quite a recession in 2008.
Yes.
The banks got in trouble. Well, by that time, I was in a lot of financial trouble. And in 2009, I had to file bankruptcy. That was pretty hard to do. I had been really proud of myself. I had bought my own home. I owned a condominium in Gwinnett County in a really nice neighborhood. I was on the board of directors at the homeowners association there. I was active in my community, and all of a sudden, I was going down this really shameful path, and I thought I was the only one in the world.
But you found out you weren't.
Yes, I did, but it took a little while. Mm-hmm. After a while, I started getting notices that my mortgage company had turned me over to a collection agency. The mortgage company, which was a bank that you would recognize, never contacted me. Like I said, this was 2008, 2009. They were going through their own stuff, and believe me, they got their hands slapped big time. But they never bothered contacting me. They turned me over to a collection agency who immediately threatened to evict me. More bad news, more shameful stuff. Mm-hmm. Stuff that I never thought, you know, a woman like me would ever experience. Well, the banks got bailed out. I did not. I went through a lot of shame and grief, having to file for bankruptcy and losing a home that I'd loved for many years. I was in that condo almost 20 years.
Mm, wow.
Really loved it. Anyway, as it so often happens, something you think is a negative, a bad, a horrible situation can lead to something much better. And that's kind of what happened to me in working through and trying to contact people to try to keep my home, or what do I do? What's the next step? Or, you know, because I had visions of a sheriff knocking on my door at 3 o'clock in the morning and just taking all my, throwing it in the street and throwing me in jail. I really had visions of that. Mm. I had no idea what the process was. Anyway,
so when did you find out?
Mm-hmm. In reaching out for help, because I finally got desperate enough to actually reach out for help, I found a group that originally was called Occupy Our Homes Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And it came out of the Occupy Wall Street movement, if you remember
that. Yes, yes.
Yeah, which was all about the economic situation. Anyway, Occupy Our Homes helped me negotiate with the collection agency and whatnot. In fact, some people who belonged to another Occupy movement actually protested in front of the collection agency's main office in Texas on my behalf.
Oh, my.
I love that.
That's great.
So I got connected with a lot of groups.
I guess so.
we ended up negotiating with them, and they actually, in 2015, they gave me the option of giving them a deed in lieu of foreclosure, which meant that the sheriff didn't come and evict me, and I got to get out of there reasonably on my own time, but I did have to forfeit my home, which was a pretty traumatic thing to do.
Yeah, that really is. So basically, yeah. You were homeless at that point.
I was, technically.
Exactly.
Yes. I have yet to spend a night on the streets, but but there are lots of people who do, and I have contact with them on a fairly regular basis now. But I had a friend who said, "Come move into my third bedroom, and we'll figure it out." And again, with help from the what was Occupier Homes and became the Housing Justice League, I learned to get in touch with HUD, Housing and Urban Development.
Yes.
And various helping agencies. And so, I ended up getting an apartment. I now live in a HUD subsidized affordable housing community for senior citizens.
Got it.
So I landed on my feet just fine, but out of gratitude for what all these people did for me, I am still working with the Housing Justice League and several other organizations that are concerned with affordable housing. In my case, specifically, I want to work with seniors, but housing just...
So if someone was in your position now, in other words, about ready to lose their house or, you know, lost their job and then had to foreclose or declare bankruptcy, what organizations could they contact to find out more about how they could be helped? You're saying the Housing Justice League, is that United States wide or just here in Atlanta? Or what are some other places?
The Housing Justice League is only here in Atlanta.
Okay.
And it's more, now it is downsized because we're not still in the recession that we were in 2008.
Right.
So the focus has changed a little bit. We as an organization are still working on many issues. One of the biggest ones we're looking forward to working with in the next few years is the eviction process in the state of Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
As things stand now, technically, an 80-year-old woman could be evicted at 3 a.m. on a February night and all her stuff set out on the sidewalk in front of her home.
Wow.
That could technically happen right now.
So what needs to change, or who are you working with, not only in Georgia, but maybe nationally, that people could work
Yes,
with?
There are organizations that are other housing, organizations that are working with more nationally. We're working locally.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, our first step is working in Fulton County, to get some of the local legislators on board with some more humane tactics.
Yes, yes.
And if we can work with Fulton County and get them on board with these ideas, then we can broaden the scope to include more of Georgia. And we've got some midterm elections coming up this year, so this is an issue that's important all over the state.
So tell us a little bit, you said you wanted to focus on seniors. How is that situation going now?
Well, right now, for myself personally, since I've been here, I've lived in this particular apartment complex for, it's coming up on 2 years now. I have organized a residents association, and we meet monthly. We mostly focus on social activities, but I because we organized in 2016, and there was a lot of political unrest in this community, we agreed not to get too focused on politics. But I bring things up every once in a while. And what I'm finding with seniors, particularly the baby boomer generation, is really afraid to speak up. We have set, like I said earlier, with the big pharma and the doctors, we have set legislators up as gods. They're going to tell us what to do. And that's not the way it should be. Our legislators work for us. This is of the people, by the people, for the people. So one of the things I've been trying to do right here in my own community of 100 apartments is to let people know that it's okay to talk to your legislators. It's okay to take a stand on some of these issues and make your voice heard. And the most okay thing to do is to get out there and vote knowledgeably.
Yes. Yes, that's very
so
true.
That's super important.
Absolutely. So all of this talking about housing justice, obviously, if anyone is in a similar situation, to work with their local departments and housing HUD agencies, et cetera, to find out right. what's available and what is can help someone get back on their feet, basically, if they need to.
Some don't. Mm-hmm. Some don't. I mean, at my age, I'm 68. It's not likely I'm going to get back into corporate America.
Right.
So I've got to work with a fixed income with what I have now. And
exactly.
that's the case with a lot of seniors.
That's true.
And there are other organizations that can help. One I'm going to suggest is the National Low Income Housing Coalition.
Okay.
It's a national organization, and it's dedicated solely to achieving social, just public policy that assures people with the lowest incomes have affordable and decent homes.
Oh, excellent. Excellent. Mm-hmm. I mean, we do need more of that because obviously people can't be out on the streets. And of course,
but they are.
Yeah.
There are people on the streets.
Well, and that's a whole nother discussion in many regards because we're talking about veterans and mentally ill and then people who are just have bad luck as well.
Exactly.
So all of that, you know, is another topic, but thank you for the National Low Income Housing Coalition for people to check that out. So
sure.
I want to switch topics for just a minute, although it's not really. What do you think constitutes a peaceful world?
Okay, I have to laugh a little because I knew you were going to ask that question.
Yes.
And you know me fairly well, but a lot of people who do know me would never associate me with the word peace because I'm pretty well known for stirring the pot.
You're like Margaret Mead. Yes.
I get out there and I will speak up. When I think something is not right, or it's unjust, or it's unhealthy, I will speak up. But at the basic level, these things that I'm involved in feel like they address the basic human necessities, health and shelter. And without those, peace is not likely to happen. But with good health and comfortable shelter, human beings have an opportunity to be peace.
Mm-hmm. Yes, to start to create it because they're not worrying for their safety. They're not worrying for their basic needs in life. And then we can actually
mm-hmm.
start to create things together as a community, as you were saying before.
Absolutely. Yes.
Hmm.
Yep.
Interesting. Well, I'm thinking of other experiences you may have had or words of wisdom that you want to share with our listeners. You've done so many things, Hannah Fay, that are this combination of activism, as we've been talking about, and practicality, in other words, along with the spiritual. And I think I actually talk a few, just a minute or so, about that combination, because I think many times people get hung up in the practicality of everyday world, and particularly if you're going through something like, you know, losing your job and losing your home, that takes all your focus. But how does the spiritual world come into that, or has it supported you, I guess, in this instance?
You know, the phrase that comes to my mind is from the Bible, and you won't hear me quote that too often. It's interesting. It's heaven and earth are one. Mm. It's all one. Yes. Spirit and matter are not separate. Mm. We need to work with both.
Good point. Yes, you're correct. I like that. Thank you.
Sure.
It gets back to the unity consciousness of what we're talking about, of really creating that community, that spiritual community, and coming and working together in coalitions.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it is all one. Excellent. Mm-hmm. So we're getting to the near the end of the show. Are there any final words of wisdom you want to share with our listeners today?
Sure. I really like that Margaret Mead quote that you opened the program with. I have a bathroom mirror that's absolutely covered in post-it notes and all kinds of quotes that I really, really like. So I know I can't quote all of them, but I do have an all-time favorite that's been around that I've carried with me for a long time, and it's from Rumi.
Mm. Oh, please share it.
Your task is not to seek for love, but merely to seek and find all the barriers within yourself that you have built against it.
Oh, wow. That's a good one.
Yeah. I love that. So, I have to remember it daily.
Find all the barriers within yourself. Wow.
That you
built against
yeah.
it. Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So basically saying that love is the key underlying mm-hmm. everything.
Yep. And that doesn't necessarily mean happy bunnies and unicorns. Sometimes it can mean tough love too. Standing up for yourself and not letting, you know, the banks or corporations or whatever, or doctors or whoever, run all over you.
Mm-hmm.
We are each divine beings, and we know our purpose, and we know what's best for us. We just need to get in touch with that.
Well said. It is true. I know that we have, you know, people who specialize in certain things, like doctors, etc. But
sure.
But
sure.
It is about, as you're saying, really, don't give up your seniority, your wisdom, your own innate wisdom, to someone else's potentially. Right.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Thank you for the work you do in that regard, too.
Oh, well, thank you. It's a co-creative effort for everyone who mm-hmm. is on the call, and certainly you and I, to create a peaceful world. We have to start with our own talents, with our own gifts, and what our passions are all about. So
yeah,
thank
absolutely.
You for being a passionate human being.
Thank you, Gail.
and taking responsibility to really create something of that helps the community, like the Wellness Fairs and the Housing Justice League and all of these efforts that you, all these hats that you've been wearing. So thanks, Hannah Fay. Thanks for coming
thank
on the
you.
Peace Brain Show. I really appreciate
absolutely.
It.
Loved it.
Awesome. So you can find out more about those, the places that we were talking about with Hannah Fay Daniel, Nancy Hannah Fay Daniel. You can go to unitynorth.org and find out more about that here in Atlanta. And then, of course, Unity is more than just here in Atlanta, but also the housingjusticeleague.org is another organization that she's been working with. And then she mentioned a more national organization that if you're not here in the Atlanta, Georgia area, You can look up the National Low Income Housing Coalition, which would work with public policy to ensure people, you know, with low incomes can have an affordable home. So good luck with all of that. Ah, well, just take a breath. We've talked about a lot today, and I want to go into the Peace Brain meditation. So take a breath and center yourself. Be here in this moment, because present time is really the most important thing that we can be aware of or put our attention on. You know, how are you right this minute? And just think about that for a minute. If you're sitting or driving in your car or just listening to this, it is, how are you? Are you okay? Most likely you are, or else you wouldn't be listening to the radio, I would hope. I would think. But I welcome you here, and I'm glad you're here. So know that in present time, we actually have control over our future, our present and our future, because everything is created for the now moment. So take a breath and think, what do you want to create? What in your life might need a little bit of tweaking or maybe major fixing? Wherever you end up, wherever you are on your journey, your physical and your spiritual journey, what would you like to change within your own life? I'm thinking about, you know, job, house, relationships, education, whatever your path may be, part of that. But then also think about what society would need to change or need to have in it to support you in that change. So take a moment and really begin to carve out your own path in your mind as to where you want to go forward, what would make your life more, I want to say easier, but also more opportunity to be of service. In other words, where you have all those needs met, so you really can creatively use your own talents and gifts to be of service in the world. And then with that thought, what in society might you need as a cooperation, as a community, as various laws and public policy, perhaps, to be put into place to support you in those efforts? So we're looking at the micro within your own life, and then looking at the macro, the bigger picture of what society could do to actually help you achieve that. And take a breath and perhaps be amused or, you know, look at it and say, okay, it's step by step, baby steps maybe to actually create that. But think about, okay, what would your next step be to actually achieve your personal goal, your personal moving forward? And then what might be the next step on a societal level? And of course, Hannah Fay was talking about, please get out and vote, obviously. Please speak to your congressmen, your representatives, your senators, because you count, you matter. That's exactly what Margaret Mead was pointing out with that beginning quote of, you can make a difference. You do make a difference when you speak out. My professors in public policy were saying, you know, public policy is simply what is the desire of the people in present time? And when that desire changes, public policy changes. So you can make a difference. You are making a difference. So take a breath and visualize that in your mind, and then bring it into your heart. And really feel it within your heart. You can accomplish this. You are this beautiful divine being that can make this happen, these goals happen, and then finding the like-minded people like yourself in that collective groups to actually make it happen in a greater scale on a societal level. Good job. So I invite you to feel that within your heart and then to hold it within that sacred heart As you then, when you choose, open your eyes, bring yourself back to the present moment, wherever you're sitting or whatever you're doing, wherever you may be, relaxing, listening to this meditation. And know that you have a part to play in creating this peaceful world. So, I want to thank you for tuning in to the Peace Brain Show today and to my guest, Nancy Hannafay Daniel, and to me, Dr. Gail Lash. And if you want to find out more about me and my programs and what I do, you can go to tourismforpeace.com or you can email me at hello@peacebrain.org. And love to help you actually create your own place of peace, create a peace park or a place where dialogue can happen, and we can have these discussions and we can have groups meet together in your community and discuss how to create a peaceful world, how to make things change for the better for all. So that is, you can check that out at worldpeacetrails.com. That's another website we have, and see how you too can become part of that program to create these places of peace around the planet. So thank you again for tuning in to the Peace Brain Show today, and I challenge you to go activate your peace brain, and thank you for listening to Hannafay and me, and go out and create an amazing, peaceful world. Thank you so much. Many blessings. Namaste.
Thank you for joining us on the Peace Brain Show. You can find us at tourismforpeace.com. Be sure to check out Dr. Gail's Akashic Records readings, her peace plans for your business or organization, and her recently published book, Opt for Peace, 9 Essential Steps to Achieving Peace, Power, and Prosperity. Tune in to BBS Radio Station 1 every other Tuesday at 5 p.m. Pacific and 8 p.m. Eastern to the Peace Brain Show for your next installment of wonder, inspiration, and practical peace.